The Philadelphia Phillies have clinched the NL East, while the Seattle Mariners are trying to make it a race with the Houston Astros in the AL West, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are slipping in the wild card race. We'll break it all down on this episode of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Tuesday, September 24th. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Christian Rau. You can follow him on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, R-A-U-H. And Christian, only four games yesterday, and missed opportunity because no day games, right? But I think that there are still plenty of interesting storylines that came out of baseball yesterday. And I think the first thing we have to do is start in the National League East, because the Philadelphia Phillies opened a series at home against the Chicago Cubs and did this.
It's at 24, the 2-2, swing and a fly ball, right center field. Castellanos going back on the edge of the track, makes the catch. The ball game is over. For the first time in 13 years, the Phillies will celebrate as National League East champions. It's their 12th divisional crown, and they'll mob each other on the mounds one more time.
The Phillies take the NL East, like you heard, first time in more than a decade. I guess two questions here. One, is this the team to beat in the National League in the postseason? And then two, the fact that this is their first one in over a decade. One, how impressive does it look that Atlanta won six straight? And then two, how impressive does it look that Atlanta won 13 straight in the 90s?
Yeah, no, that's really true. The way that the Phillies have been playing lately, it's crazy that this is their first one since 2011. It really is, because the Phillies seem like a household name right now. You know, they were just in the World Series. They had a really good playoff run, but they never won the division. That's wild. So, yeah, definitely some props to the Braves there. But when you ask if the Phillies are the team to beat in the National League, I feel like it's really hard to not say the Los Angeles Dodgers. But when you look at this Phillies squad, when they are hot, and especially what we've seen from them in the postseason the last couple seasons, it's hard not to pick the Phillies, because that team has just as many superstars on it at the top of their lineup than the Dodgers. They're just maybe not as known as a Mookie Betts or a Shohei Ohtani. And you have to give the nod to the Phillies when it comes to that pitching staff. That rotation is very good when you look at Nola and Wheeler and Sanchez and Suarez, not Walker. And it's really impressive. So I would have to say that, yeah, I'd have to give the nod to the Phillies to think they are the team to beat for the National League. And I would not be surprised if we get into the Fall Classic, Lindsey, and the Philadelphia Phillies are sitting right there again with Rob Thompson, who's been their manager for three seasons now, making the postseason every single time. And one of those seasons he took over in the middle for Joe Girardi. So I would not be surprised to see the Philadelphia Phillies sitting there at the World Series.
Yeah, the Phillies feel like they are, at least to me, the better all-around team, right? You mentioned the pitching staff has been so good. One of the best rotations in all of baseball. The bullpen has been good enough. I still don't think they're obviously the best, but I think they've been good enough. And they have the bats in the lineup, and we've seen in the postseason, you know, Bryce Harper can manufacture some sort of slight personal insult and go off and hit multiple home runs, and Kyle Schwarber doing Kyle Schwarber things, and Nick Castellanos capitalized on any sort of national disaster. It does feel like LA has the higher ceiling with the three MVPs and future Hall of Famers at the top of their lineup. But I do think the pitching questions for LA make it where the ceiling is higher, but the floor is lower. And like, you could see LA getting knocked out in the first round if with some bad pitching performances and some bad games from Freeman and Betts. I don't think Ohtani's ever going to have a bad game ever again, but if Betts and Freeman can't get it going at the plate, you could see how LA could get knocked out. But Philly feels like it's a deep enough lineup to go to at least make it through whatever their first round matchup is, which will be the divisional series. They're going to have one of the two best records in the National League and get that bye. is this finally the year the Phillies do it? I mean, because it feels like if you get past LA, that should be it. I really don't think that there's too many other teams in the NL that are going to put up a giant fight, right? The Padres will be tough for whoever gets them, but you wouldn't face them until the NLCS, assuming all the seeds right now hold. It feels like this is the year, if the Phillies are going to make the World Series and have a chance to win it, this is the year they've got to do it.
Yeah, out of the seven teams that are left in the National League, you know, obviously only six are going to make it, but out of those seven, every one of those teams are going to be excited in the postseason. Like, there's not one dud over in the National League that you see right now, and that's exciting. The Phillies are the top of that, though. They are going to be the most exciting team if we compare what we saw the last few seasons of them in the postseason. I asked Troy on Saturday this question. I asked him what he thought about the roster construction and the general management and just like the whole league, the whole front office, and just the whole team as a whole. And I compared him to the Yankees, and I said, which between the Phillies and the Yankees are going to be like, are in win now mode, have to win the World Series. And he did pick the Yankees, but I will say the Phillies are a team that I think needs to win the World Series. They need to get to make that next step for all the moves that they made in the post, the trade deadline, bringing in Austin Hayes, bringing in Estevez, who hasn't looked that great out of the bullpen. But I think for the legacy of Dombrowski and the rest of this Phillies front office, I think you are in must win now mode for the World Series. This roster is not getting any younger, Lindsay. There's some free agents that are going to be different moving into the offseason. So I don't know if we'll see this Phillies roster be as good as it is right now in 2025 and beyond. So yes, I agree that the Phillies need to win the World Series. They are in the World Series or bust mode right now heading into October.
Kind of wild that Atlanta was talking about that in preseason, about this is World Series or bust, and they're fighting for their playoff lives. We'll get to them in a minute. Okay, talking about the moving over to the American League West, the Houston Astros and Seattle Mariners started a series last night. The Mariners won 6-1, and for a race that we have been saying is over, right? We have been saying that this race is done, and there's no way that the Astros are going to lose. The Mariners, who are 7-3 in their last 10 games, have brought it down to within 4 games. And obviously, playing the Astros, every game counts double. Behind Julio Rodriguez just being absolutely going nuclear, and I've got those stats in just a second, is this something where the Astros need to be concerned? Or is this just a, we go out and play our normal games and odds are we'll come out still leading the division?
Yeah, they're up 4 with 5 left. So, I mean, they just need one more win to clinch it. So I think that the Astros absolutely have to play cautious tonight. But I think what we're really looking at here is if can the Mariners sneak into the wild card? And we keep talking about the Detroit Tigers and how that they've been very impressive, but there is a very solid chance that the Mariners can sneak into a final spot in the wild card as well. With the Twins, you know, not looking good. And of course with the Royals on their 7-game losing streak, what a terrible time for that to happen. And just last month, they had a 6-game losing streak. They're not doing very good since the Vinny Pasquantino injury, Lindsay. So it'd be interesting to see if Seattle can sneak into the wild card race. You mentioned Julio Rodriguez, how great he's looked as of late. Cal Raleigh's looked really good as a catcher for the Mariners. And then Randy Rosarena's starting to finally figure it out since being traded over there. His numbers don't look good, but if you actually watch the games, he's starting to finally figure it out there. And I think that could be dangerous because we've seen Randy Rosarena in the postseason. We'll go back to 2020 and he's got some of the most iconic World Series moments ever. So if he can get into the postseason, we know he can dance. So yeah, I would say that the Mariners are going to be fun. This is going to be a really exciting series for the rest of the week. But I do think that there's a possible chance that we could see them in the wild card race. I will say for the Astros real fast, you know, the Hunter Brown, you know, he looked really good yesterday in the pitching. I know that they lost by a pretty decent score, but it wasn't on him. There's a lot of nods to the bullpen here for Houston. And I think that's more concerning than anything is what's going on with that bullpen, because it's been like that all weekend as well. Hector Neris had some issues a couple days ago, and now you're getting some issues from some of your non-leverage guys if you look at who pitched yesterday. So, yeah, I think that's your more concern for Houston is what's going on with that bullpen.
Yeah, Hunter Brown takes the bad luck loss. One run on three hits in six innings, but takes the loss because they were technically down. Miller goes seven innings, scoreless, two hits, no runs, two walks, five strikeouts. So he leaves with the lead. And then the bullpen there, King gives up two runs in two thirds of an inning. Martinez gives up two runs on three hits and one and a third innings. There's your issues. But yeah, the surge from Julio Rodriguez has made the wild card race interesting. I pulled the numbers as you were talking about it. The Tigers and Royals are tied for that final spot. One game out is Minnesota. One and a half games out is Seattle. And so even if they can't necessarily catch up to Houston, a hot streak right here can still get them up over a slumping Royals. The Royals have Washington this week, who, ever since calling up these prospects, you can't sleep on Houston. They've got Dylan Cruz. They've got James Wood. These guys are doing well. They won't have CJ Abrams for that series, but they've got everybody else. And then talking about the hot streak from Julio Rodriguez, I went back and pulled. He was just named Player of the Week. But from August 28th through the 22nd, so not counting last night, he's batting .363 with a 1.44 OPS in his last 23 games. And again, Baseball Reference as of this morning has not yet updated for last night's games, but it's not like he had a bad game last night. So that's going to go up even more. And it's just, that's the kind of hot streak that you thought Julio Rodriguez could produce. That is MVP caliber talent. And that is why he got the giant extension with the escalators for winning the MVP, because at any given time, he can put up numbers like that.
Yeah, he's had an offseason, really all year, Lindsay, but you knew it was in there. You knew the potential was there because we've seen it last season. So if he's getting hot, and the time he decides to get hot is late September and possibly October, if the Mariners make it, that's exactly where you need to just, that's a perfect bounce back for your legacy going into what would be year three for Julio Rodriguez in 2025. I will say this, how wild would it be that we are talking about the AL Central, four teams battling for a postseason spot, and there is a good chance now with the slumps of the Twins and the Royals that we might only get one of those teams in the playoffs, the division winner. At a point, there was four battling. Right now, we're at a point where four are still eligible. No other division in baseball has that, but there might only be one that makes the postseason.
I still think the Tigers are going to make it. They've just been so hot.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure. But
yeah, it's just
that's a chance.
Yeah, they could go from four teams to one or two. I mean, it's wild, and that's why this season is coming down to be a lot more dramatic than maybe we thought it was going to be a couple weeks ago, when we thought this was all going to be pretty chalk down the stretch. Okay, another meaningful game last night. The San Francisco Giants take down the Arizona Diamondbacks in the desert, 6-3, behind the heroics of Matt Chapman, who did this.
Back up there. Into left center field. McCarthy on the move. And it's off the wall. And it kicks way away from everybody. Chapman is on the move. And they're going to wave him in. And the throw home. It is not in time.
Matt Chapman goes 2-for-4, scores a run, 3 RBI, including that inside the park home run in the victory here. I know the Giants are eliminated, right? But is there reason to think that, I guess we'll talk about them first before we get to Arizona. Is there reason to think that the core is here for the next competitive Giants team that makes the postseason?
I don't know if you can say completely here, but I think they have some good foundations. And I think ever since they signed that extension for Matt Chapman, this team has played different, Lindsay. I think they know what's on the horizon. And I think that they finally see a a path forward for 2025 and beyond. It just unfortunately won't be right now. But that doesn't mean they're not playing meaningful baseball. Just because they're not going to play in October, it looks like they're trying to play spoilers. And they've looked really good over the last couple of series. They they won the series against the Orioles. They swept the Kansas City Royals. And now they're, you know, winning the series opener against their NL West rival, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are trying to find their way back and hold them to the wild card race here. So, and all while doing that, they're only one game now under 500. So they have some goals themselves that they're trying to meet. And it looks like getting over 500 at the end of the season is one of them. And I think that'd be a great accomplishment for them after, you know, there's a couple slumps they had the last month. I will say this though, when you see the excitement of this Giants team, and they've been really fun to watch the last couple games, it's contagious. It's really contagious. You see some of these pitchers, some of their young pitchers, Hayden Birdsong being one of them, 6'4", by the way. That guy just looks huge on the mound. When you watch a guy like him, and obviously Blake Snell, we'll see what happens with him in the offseason, but watching him on the mound is incredible as well. These Giants are going to be a team, if they just add maybe one or two pieces, Lindsay, that they're going to be right back in contention, and maybe we'll stop saying that 107 in 2021 was a fluke.
The Giants have a lot of freaky athletic pitchers. Sean, I believe it's pronounced Jelly, Sean Jelly, 6'11". Like, they have a lot of super insane pitchers. And I do think the emergence of Tyler Fitzgerald is huge. Playing shortstop, they did not really have a plan figured out at shortstop. Casey Schmidt was a third baseman who was very, very good defensively. They played him some at short last year, played him some more at short this year. He wasn't hitting that well. Marco Luciano is a guy that is probably better suited to second base than short. But getting that, as well as getting some breakouts in the outfield. Obviously, they signed Hung Yu Lee, but I feel like the core is here. I have questions about what the pitching staff can do if Blake Snell opts out. I do think they need to get him back, either sign him to an extension, which they've not had any discussions on that, or convince him not to opt out. But I do like the bones here. It's just a matter of, can you build around it? For Arizona, they now, with this loss, they now fall to the third and final wildcard spot. They are half a game behind the Mets, and they are a game and a half ahead of the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, the Braves and the Mets play this week for three. That will probably decide Atlanta's playoff fate. Are you concerned about the Diamondbacks going 5-5 in their last 10 games with the questions on the rotation? Are you concerned about this Diamondbacks team not making the postseason?
Yes, you have to say yes. I feel like you have to have some concern there, because they started the series against Milwaukee very strong, and we thought it might have been a hangover with the Brewers this past weekend, but they ended terribly.
Literally, they had a hangover lineup, like they clinched the night before, literally.
But they ended terribly, Lindsay. They wound up losing a game, which I believe they had an 8-run lead at one point. On Sunday's finale. So, yeah, you have to be concerned. And you mentioned this rotation where they built it over the offseason, and they brought in guys like Rodriguez, and he's just, you know, obviously handled with injuries, but since his return has not been great. He had his best start, the start before last night, but he couldn't capitalize on it going into the game against the Giants. In last night's matchup, he only goes 4.2 innings. He gives up 5 runs. Now, some of them weren't their fault. That inside the park home run was a tough catch to make in the outfield, but it should have been a catch, right? And then, but giving up 3 home runs, I mean, that's your fault. There's no, you can't blame defense. You can't blame FIP. You can't do anything on that. You give up the home run. So there's a lot of question marks with that rotation. I think it starts with Rodriguez, and that's something that you were banking on him being your game 2 or even game 3 starter. And you still probably are, and that's concerning.
Yeah, with the loss last night, Arizona's chances of holding onto the wild card dropped from 82.8% to 73.1%. So that was a 9% drop with that loss. Atlanta's odds went up from 41.5 to 46.7. So that was a little bit of a meaningful swing there. We'll see what happens. Obviously, this week, Arizona and San Francisco will continue playing. Again, Braves take on the Mets. We'll preview all those in a minute. But getting into quick pitch, we already mentioned that Julio Rodriguez was player of the week last week. The other player of the week, I don't think I have to, I don't think we have to be surprised by this. Shohei Ohtani for what
did he do?
What he did over the weekend, going 6 for six and having one of the greatest offensive performances we've ever seen in Miami. And like, is that just a slam dunk? Like, was there any way he didn't win that?
I mean, absolutely. Could you imagine if somebody else got it? Like, after doing that, could you imagine if you're like, oh, and by the way, Kyle Schwarber, you're the National League Player of the Week. Congratulations. Like, if you were Schwarber, could you accept that? Like, could you do that? Absolutely not. Shohei Ohtani has been insane. And you guys talked about it on yesterday's show while I was out, and how fantastic he has been and how he's chasing 55-55. I will say, and we're going to pull the clip if he does it, we did a quick pitch, a quick fire about a couple weeks ago, and you asked the question, will Shohei Ohtani get to 50-50? And I think I remember saying yes, and he will do 55-55. So I'm banking on that and hoping we can pull that clip.
That would be a nice little feather in your cap there.
Sure will.
Okay. Minor league update. Obviously the minor league season's over except for the final championship games in AA and AAA, but the Tigers have called up top pitching prospect Jackson Jobe to work out of the bullpen. He is considered to be one of, if not the best pitching prospect in baseball, number three overall pick in 2021 out of high school. Started the season in high A and made it all the way to AAA this year, 5-3, 2.36 ERA in 21 starts, 96 strikeouts in 91 and two-thirds innings. Is this something where you think the Tigers genuinely need the help? Do you think they want to get him a chance to experience a postseason push, or is this a luxury for the Tigers right now? Because you're using, like, you have to add him to the 40-man roster. You legitimately have to make sacrifices to call up a top prospect with a week left in the season. That's why so many teams haven't done it.
Yeah, it's an interesting reason why they would do that, but I think the luxury is a good way of saying it. As you mentioned, it doesn't hurt. I mean, their pitching staff, if you're looking at every single pitching staff and all the contenders left, you have to probably say they're one of the worst overall pitching staffs, even with Tarek Skubal on your side there, because you traded a guy like Jack Flaherty away and then you have a couple unknowns. Now he's just going to play in the bullpen, as you mentioned, but having a guy like that who has done really good in the minor leagues, you know, maybe getting his feet wet right before the postseason, maybe he can be something. Maybe he can come in for an inning and be something solid and make an impact right away. And could you imagine the confidence that would put on a young prospect, the guy that they're hoping to be a solidified piece for your core for the future, the confidence that would bring if he had a postseason moment before he makes his first start for the Tigers? I think that would be pretty incredible.
Yeah. I wrote a freelance piece for SI on their Tigers site a few days ago about when they secured a 500 or better season. And one of the observations I made in there is they've done it despite their moves or losing three starting pitchers within a span of 2 weeks in late July. They traded Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers. Kenta Maeda got moved to the bullpen. Reese Olson got hurt. And what they've done is, like, since then, at the time, they had the lowest starting pitcher innings in baseball from that point on through when I wrote the article, which was Sunday. 190 and a third innings from the starting rotation. No team had used more openers than them. They had used five different relievers to start 24 games since July 25th. But that pitching staff as a whole had also been one of the best pitchers in baseball. League low, 181 runs in that same stretch. So it was working. And it feels like adding Jobe is, I think, a little bit more. I think it's halfway between a luxury and a need, right? They've obviously been getting it done with the guys in the pen. But being able to take a guy as good as that and say, hey, we're going to let you go have two or three innings. Go through the order one time. You're not starting the game. You're going to come in. We're going to be up 2-0 already. You're going to get the second through the fourth innings. Go through the lineup once. I think that's a valuable learning experience for him, as well as gives them some high quality innings that they weren't necessarily getting from some of the back. I think it's a good move. I think that it's something that they needed to do, and I'm happy to see what the youngster can do. Flip side of this, you know, you call up a youngster, one of the promising young players. one of the more tenured players in baseball is officially calling it quits. Charlie Blackmon of the Colorado Rockies is calling it a career. He announced last night he is retiring at the end of the season. Quick reminder here, second round pick in 2008 out of Georgia Tech, played his entire career in Colorado, four All-Star selections, two Silver Sluggers, peaked with a fifth place finish in MVP in 2017, will retire pending a bad week with a .292 career batting average across 14 years for Colorado and 67 triples. He's obviously not a Hall of Famer. We're not at that point. But is this a first ballot Rockies Hall of Fame guy in Charlie Blackmon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a Rockies Hall of Famer for sure. Just for the 14 years alone, I mean, you don't see that happen enough anymore across this league. And he deserves all the credit in the world for staying 14 years with the Rockies. I mean, that's going to be tough in itself. But either way, you know, he's become a Colorado legend. There's been, I mean, people are going to fear the beard for the rest of their lives because of stuff like that. So, yeah, no, absolutely. What a great career for Charlie Blackmon. I definitely enjoyed watching him play throughout his career. I mean, when betting just got started, you know, when they started the DraftKings lineups and you'd have to pick your lineups and do that stuff, I would always do Nolan Arenado and DJ LeMahieu and Charlie Blackmon as a stack. You know, you love that, you know, stack growing, you know, going into it. So that's some of my favorite memories is watching Colorado baseball is just getting them excited for betting. But regardless, what a great career for him. 14 years in Colorado is insane. And I will say that if he doesn't want to be recognized, all he has to do is go back to that baby face at the beginning of his career, because nobody remembers him without that beard.
Nobody would recognize Charlie Blackmon if he shaved. No, absolutely not. I also like the way that they did this. Wait until the end of the season. Don't do, like, some players did that. I think Miguel Cabrera had that giant retirement tour. Nothing against Miggy. He's a great player. He deserved it. I for some reason, I like it more when the player's just like, hey, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out. You found out 4 days early, right? His last game will be Sunday. I like how they did this.
I like that I think they're still playing at home, right? So he's got one home series left with the crowd knowing. I like that. So you can get like one final ovation from the crowd. That's cool. I don't want to see the whole season of it because that's some weird unadded pressure. And then you have this weird feeling, you know, clouding the entire season. But one last home series, especially if you're out of the postseason contention, I like that.
Yeah. All right. Full slate of games today to kick off the next to last set of series of this regular season. Hard to believe we're already here. I asked Troy the same question yesterday. Mets visit Atlanta for three. The Padres visit the Dodgers for three. Next Sunday, when the season is over and we look back at these two matchups, which one of these series will have ended up being more consequential?
Braves-Mets, 100%. And the reason behind that is Dodgers-Padres are both going to be in the postseason. So each of those teams are still playing October baseball, regardless of what happens with that series. But Braves-Mets, there's a good chance, and the chances are high, that one of those teams are done when this month is over. You know, unless the Diamondbacks completely fall off a ledge, which is entirely still in the cards, Lindsay, but regardless, the Mets Braves, I think, are the biggest series. They're going into the series with the Braves only a game and a half behind both the Mets, both the Diamondbacks.
Game and a half behind Arizona, two games behind New York, I believe.
Okay, look at that. Yeah. So, I mean, if the Braves win the series, I think that's going to be a wild ending. Can you imagine if the Braves win the series, even if they sweep, let's just say the Braves sweep and they get a game lead on the Mets, and then we don't know what happens to the Diamondbacks. That last three games are going to be absolutely nuts heading into the end of the season. I love this. I love that on both the American League and the National League side, we are getting meaningful baseball right up to game 162.
Yeah. Braves-Mets are tied on the season series, so the winner of this series has the tiebreaker over the other. So it'll be interesting there.
Huge.
This has been First Pitch for Tuesday, September 24th. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when we drop tomorrow's episode. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.